Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thank you, Tim, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and we have a couple of programs just as usual. First, we're going to start off with a very prestigious program from the 30s and then the 40s. This is called The Cavalcade of America, and this episode is entitled Queen of Heartbreak Hill. This is from 1948.
The DuPont Cavalcade of America, starring Irene Dunne.
Good evening. This is Irene Dunne. Tonight's cavalcade, Queen of Heartbreak Trail, is an exciting adventure. It's an original radio play suggested by the life of Harriet Pullen, who went to Alaska during the colorful days of the gold rush. Before we begin, here's Bill Hamilton of the DuPont Company.
Thank you, Miss Dunne. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You can now get weeds out of your lawn without spending long hours of back-breaking work. It's just a matter of spraying with new DuPont Lawn Weed Killer. This new chemical weed killer makes dandelions and many ugly weeds wither up and disappear, roots and all. And it doesn't harm most of the common lawn grasses. For a more beautiful lawn, go after those weeds the easy way. Use DuPont Lawn Weed Killer, one of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry. Now, Queen of Heartbreak Trail, starring Irene Dunne as Harriet Pullen on the DuPont Cavalcade of America. ...1897, the year gold was discovered in the Klondike. It was midsummer of that year when Harriet Pullen first saw the coast of Alaska.
I took the boat up from Seattle. It was jam-packed with prospectors, hard, cruel men mostly, who came looking for something, gold, success, adventure. But not me. All I wanted was a job. I had to have a job because, well, I had my reasons. Four good ones. You'll hear about that later. We anchored in the bay at Skagway. A scow drew alongside, and a sailor shouted,
"All passengers to Skagway will take the scow to the beach. All right, you men, down that Jacob's ladder to the scow.
Let me off first.
Wait a minute, quick.
Out of my way, out of my way.
Stand back, I tell you, I'll mash your faces.
Gentlemen, no fighting, please. You, mister, you're crushing my hat. Please, will somebody... Please.
Hold that out, you man. Let the lady off first.
Give me your hand, ma'am. I'll help you down the ladder.
Oh, thank you, Captain.
Wait a minute, ma'am. Are you sure you want to get off at Skagway?
Yes, why?
Well, ma'am, Alaska's a pretty rough place for a lady. Won't be much like the life you led back in the States.
I don't want it to be, Captain. I'm going to build me a whole new life up here. Just help me down this ladder, please. When I stood on the beach at Skagway, my courage began to slip away. Just then, a man came along.
Waiting for somebody in particular, lady?
No, I'm not.
Thinking of taking a job, maybe?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Can you cook?
A little. Why?
Come along. I've got a job for you. My name's McDaniels. Everybody calls me Mac. I've got a gang of 18 lumberjacks cutting timber for a wharf on the beach. When these boys come out of the woods, they're hungry enough to eat a raw dog. Well, here we are in my tent. Go on in.
Why, you can't stand up in here.
Men eat sitting down.
I can't cook sitting down.
That's what the Jap used to say.
My, how'd this place ever get so filthy?
I guess the Jap never cleaned it.
Look at those tin dishes. They haven't been properly washed in weeks.
Nothing stopping you from washing them, ma'am.
Where's the soap? I don't see any.
We don't have any. Soap's a dollar a bar in Skagway. Use ashes.
Ashes?
That's what I said, miss. Or is it Mrs.?
Mrs. Pullen. Mrs. Harriet Pullen. Tell me, whatever happened to this Jap?
He quit. Couldn't stand the gaff.
Well, I'm smarter than he is. I'm not taking the job.
It's none of my business, lady, but what'll you do? How'll you live?
I don't know.
This is a rough country, Mrs. Pullen. Full of hard men, criminals, and gamblers. And the women, they're definitely not your type. Tell me, did you ever work for a living before?
Well, not exactly.
I didn't think so. Where's your husband?
He died last winter. Mr. McDaniels, I know what you're thinking. That I ought to go home on the next boat. But I'm not. I'm staying. I've got four good reasons to keep me here.
Four?
Three boys and a girl. My children. As soon as I make enough money, I'm going to send for them.
I see. Well, lady, if you don't work for me, there's only one other job that's open.
Yeah? What's that?
Come outside the tent. You see that dance hall the other side of the mud bank? Big Jim Collier's place?
Yes, I see it.
See that sign in the window?
Yes, I see it. Female vocalist wanted. Must sing high soprano and look good in tights. Inquire within.
Well, Mrs. Pullen?
Well, Mr. McDaniels, I sing a pretty fair high soprano, but I've never worn tights. To tell you the truth, though, I've often wondered what I look like in them. Thanks for the suggestion. Give your attention to the professor here. He'll entertain you with his justly celebrated pianistic virtuosity. Thank you.
Come in, Mrs. Pullen. Come in.
Well, Mr. Collier, how did I do?
You were great. Sensational. You had them all trying in their drinks.
Yeah.
And that introduction for the professor. Pianistic virtuosity.
Yeah.
That's a humdinger.
I heard a man say that at a circus once in Seattle.
You got class, Mrs. Pullen, real class.
Thank you.
I'd consider it a favor if you'd use big words like that when you're sitting at the table with the customers.
When I'm what?
Sure, that's part of your job. You make yourself pleasant to the customers and they buy you drinks.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't do that.
Oh, sure you can. It's easy. Now, come along, and I'll introduce you to some of the big spenders.
Hey, pull up a chair, kiddo.
Thank you.
My name's Jack Darcy. Blackjack, they call me. This here's Steve Burnside.
Hello,
howdy
kitty.
How do you do?
Come on, don't be bashful. Will you drink?
Well, I guess I'll have some root beer, thank you, Mr.
Root beer? You know something, cutie? I like your looks. You and me are going to be great friends. How about a little kiss?
No, please, Mr. Burnside.
Oh, come on, please, baby.
Let me go.
Cut it out, Steve. Can't see the lady ain't interested.
Stay out of this.
Why should I? Maybe she's got somebody else on her mind.
Like who?
Like me.
No, please, gentlemen. I haven't got anybody on my mind.
Come on, kiddo. We're not going to let any tin-horn gambler push us around, are we?
Now, please, Mr. Burnside, I told you. Oh, please, Mr. Darcy.
Did I hear you mention something about a tin-horn gambler?
You did?
Have any particular party in mind? Me, maybe?
Certainly. Who else?
That's all I wanted to... No!
No, it's out of my way, Cleo. I got it.
Nobody call me no tin-horn. Get no hat. Not while I can see.
Oh, Mr. McDaniel.
Well, Mrs. Pullen, hello.
I've been looking for you, Mr. McDaniel. About that job you offered me. Is it still open?
Sure, it's rough work, though. You'll be cooking for 18 men.
Well, after what I've been through tonight, it'll be like a vacation. Just lead me to it. The first day I spent at McDaniel's camp was the hardest day of my life. At supper time, the men came out of the woods, and as Mr. Mack had predicted, they ate like wolves. But they never said a word whether they liked my cooking or not. When they got up to leave, I smiled my prettiest and said, "Don't go yet, boys. I've got a surprise. Apple pie." Well, does anybody want to taste it?
You taste it, little Joe. I got a delicate stomach.
Here you are, Mr. Joe. A nice big slice.
Smells like apple pie.
Well, how'd you expect it?
Yeah, never mind the smell.
Tastes like apple pie. God darn, it is apple pie. Come on, boys, dig in.
Hey, you men still eating?
Hi, boys.
Good evening, Mr. Mack.
Hello, Mrs. Pullen. Well, boys, how do you like the new cook?
Oh, just like home, Mac, just like home.
Look, pie, apple pie, and out of clean dishes, too.
Yeah, and even the spoon's clean. You can see your face in it.
With a face like yours, Joe, I wouldn't look.
Come on, boys. See you tomorrow, Mac.
Well, Mrs. Pullen, you look kind of tired.
They liked it. They liked my apple pie.
Here, better sit down. You think you're strong enough to stand up under all this hard work?
Strong? Sure, I'm strong. You're strong when you have to be. Mr. Mack, I've got to make enough money to send for my children.
$3 a day? How will you support them?
Well, I've decided to bring them one at a time. I'll start with the oldest, Danny. He's 10. It'll be hard for him at first, doing without things he's used to, but... Well, I'll try to make it fun, you know, like a game.
Where are you going to live? In a tent?
Well, an old miner who owns a cabin on the beach is going back to the States. Has only one room.
Any furniture?
It's got a stove.
Nothing else?
No.
Not a bed, nor a table, nor a chair? You call that a home for your children? Mrs. Pullen, I can't figure you out. You look like something out of a tea party, and you talk like Mrs. Daniel Boone.
Do I? Mr. Mack, all I know is I'm going to build a new life for me and my children in a new country. Where I can be useful, where I'm needed. Yes, my mind's made up. I'll save every penny and bring Danny here.
You are listening to Queen of Heartbreak Trail, starring Irene Dunne as Harriet Pullen on The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, makers of better things for better living through chemistry.
On the three $3 a day I earn cooking for lumberjacks during the gold rush in Alaska. I could bring only one of my four children to live with me. But it was still my dream to make a home for my entire family. That first year, the winter set in the 1st of November. At night, the wind howled, and in the morning, the cabin walls were covered with frost. My boy, Danny, was both a consolation and a problem, since I had no time to watch him. He was always wandering off someplace and scaring me half out of my wits. A dozen times a day, I'd run to the tent flap and yell, "Danny! Danny, where are you?"
"Over here, Mama."
"Over where?"
"In front of the Gold Nugget Saloon." "You sweet back spavin' old man, giddy up."
"Come and play here where I can see you."
"I'm coming. Giddy up, you goblin, flea-bitten varmint. Whoa, mange bag, whoa."
"Danny, stop using that language. What have you got in your hand?"
"A tobacco plug. A miner told me it's good for what ails me."
"Give it to me."
"Do I have to?"
"It'll make you sick. Now remember, I don't want you going near the saloons."
"Why not, Mommy?"
"I told you, they're not nice places for little boys. Now come over here. I want you to stay right here in this tent until..."
"Get tin horn, gambler!"
"Holy smoke! A gunfight! I'll be right back, Mama!"
"Oh, dear, oh, dear." To add to my troubles with Danny, the price of everything went sky high due to the shortages as more and more people came to Alaska to seek gold. I was unable to save any money, and my other children were as far away as the moon. Then one night, as the men were leaving after supper, little Joe came over to me and said,
"Hey, nice apple pie tonight, Miss Pullen. Gar darn nice apple pie."
"Why, thank you, little Joe. I'm glad you liked it."
"Miss Pullen, you ain't looking so good. How long are you going to keep on with this here back-breaking job?"
"Well..."
"Saving any money?"
"Saving. I'm lucky if I can get through the week without borrowing."
"You know, Miss Pullen, I've been thinking... maybe you could sell some of them apple pies. Way I figure it is, there's three things this town of Skagway ain't got enough of. Hotels, pack horses, and apple pie."
"Hotels, pack horses, and apple pie." "Well, I'll remember that, Joe."
"Well, you could get a dollar apiece for them pies."
"Well, it sounds good, but I simply haven't got the time."
"Oh, well, I want to say goodbye, Miss Pullen."
"Goodbye?"
"Yes'm. I'm going gold digging. Got my boots and pan and shovel. Got my tent and grub. So, here goes little Joe, 68 years old by the grace of God, sitting out for the fields."
"Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have a piece of pie? Evening, old-timer."
"Oh, evening, young sprout."
"Danny, close the tent flap."
"All right."
"Ooh, hey, you hear that wind? Oh, it's going to be mean out there on the trail. I wished I had me a pack horse. It sure would be a help."
"Well, Mama's got a horse back in Seattle. Her name's Babe."
"She has? Well, bring her here, Miss Pullen. There's a fortune running pack horses over Heartbreak Trail. Pack horses pays $50 a day."
"Well, sure, Mama. Let's bring her."
$50 a day?
"Ah, that's right. Oh, you'd have to hire a driver, of course."
"A driver?"
"Well, you can't just send a horse off by itself. It just ain't done."
"I could be the driver."
"You?" "Oh, honey, you wouldn't come back alive from your first trip. You know what they call that trail? Heartbreak Trail. And they don't call it that for nothing."
"Listen to me, Joe. I'm not going to have my horse driven to death by some half-drunk mule skinner who..." "Oh, what's the use of talking? I haven't got any money to send for."
"You could get it."
"Yes, how?"
"I told you, apple pies."
"Of course. I could come back here at night after Danny's asleep and bake them.
Sure, Mom. You could do it.
You sure, Joe? You sure people would buy them?
Mrs. Pullen, like I told you, there's three things Alaska ain't got enough of. Pack horses, hotels, and apple pies. Put your money in them commodities, and you can't go wrong.
Of course, it wasn't easy. Every dollar earned meant long hours at night stolen from sleep. But at last, early in the spring, Babe arrived on the boat from Seattle. I couldn't get the scow or even a teamster to bring her ashore, so I borrowed a skiff and rowed out to the steamer anchored in the bay.
Your horse is right down there in the hold, ma'am. Follow me. How are you going to get her off?
I don't know yet.
Well, you can't take her ashore in the skiff.
I'll think of something.
You better do it fast, lady. There she is, right in there.
Babe. It's me, Babe. Don't you remember me? She remembers me. I knew she would. I knew it. Oh, hello, Babe. Hello, honey. Listen, Babe, we're in trouble. I've got to get you off this boat. The only way I can do it is to swim you ashore. Will you help me, honey? Will you?
Swimmer? Why, you're crazy. It's a quarter of a mile that sea's rough.
It's the only way. You lead her out on the gangplank over the water. I'll row my skiff off your port side and call to her.
But what if she...
She'll jump to me. I know she will.
Rope. All right.
Babe, I'm here waiting for you. Come on, honey. Jump.
She's there.
Don't be frightened, babe. I'll tow you ashore with a skiff.
She won't jump, I tell you.
I'm here, babe. I'm waiting for you. Come on, jump to me, honey.
Look at her eyes roll. She's rearing. She's backing up.
Jump, babe. Jump. I knew you'd come, babe. I knew you would. Swim over here, Pep. We'll be in a warm stable in no time. In April, I quit the cook tent and started Babe packing freight over the mountains to the gold fields. It wasn't a woman's job. Heartbreak Trail was half mud hole, half icy ledge along canyons littered with the bones of horses. The two of us together climbed and slipped and froze. Come on, babe. You can make it. Come on, honey. Come on. That's a good girl. It's easier now, isn't it? You've learned a lot in 2 months, babe. You're a good girl. All right now, honey. This is your last trip. They're building a railroad through the mountains, and they won't be needing us anymore. We'll have to think of another way to make a living, won't we? Well, honey, I've got an idea, a good idea.
Skagway, watch your step getting off. Skagway.
Well, this town sure has changed.
Little Joe! Huh? Little Joe!
Well, look who's here. Miss Pullen with a horse and wagon.
That's Babe. You remember Babe, don't you?
Yeah, my, don't she look slick and shiny?
She ought to, the way the children take care of her. They're all here with me now.
Oh.
Where are you staying tonight?
Oh, I don't know.
I do. Come on, get in.
Where are we going?
You'll see. Get up, babe.
Say, will you look at all them new buildings?
Town shut up like a mushroom the year you've been away.
Yeah.
Even getting a new school.
Huh?
Whoa, babe. Whoa.
Say, this is the old mission, ain't it?
Not anymore. Mission's moved to larger quarters.
Well, what are we stopping here for?
Joe, remember the advice you gave me?
What advice?
You said what Alaska needed was apple pie, pack horses, and...
And a hotel. Well, gol darn, so you open yourself a hotel, huh? Well, gol darn.
Pullin' house, it's called, Joe. Clean rooms, clean beds.
And apple pie?
3 times a day, Joe. That's the first rule of Pullin' house. The best gol darn hotel in Alaska.
Yes, Harriet Pullen had her hotel and a home for her children in Skagway, Alaska. Perhaps hearkening back to the days of the gold rush and the bearded prospectors from the howling canyons of the North Country. But certainly keeping alive the invincible spirit of Harriet Pullen, the woman who made Pullen House a source of pride and an Alaskan institution. I'm sure our radio listeners join the audience in the theater tonight applauding the performance of Irene Dunne and the rest of tonight's cast on the Cavalcade of America. And now, here's Bill Hamilton of the DuPont Company.
This week, more than 250,000 people are expected to attend the International Petroleum Exposition at Tulsa, Oklahoma. Nearly all of these visitors will be men and women directly concerned with petroleum or its products. 250,000 visitors gives you some idea of how great this industry is and how dependent in one way or another all of us are on oil and the many things made from it. For many years, the DuPont Company has been keenly interested in the growth and development of the petroleum industry and its better things to which DuPont chemistry so often contributes. Industrial chemical companies like DuPont buy and use petroleum products as raw materials. DuPont Chemical Science adds hidden values to many of the petroleum products you use. Tetraethyl lead, the important ingredient of anti-knock gasolines, has been manufactured by DuPont for 25 years. DuPont antioxidants, made by Chemical Science, control gums in gasoline which might otherwise clog the engine of your car. DuPont fuel oil stabilizers perform the same service for your furnace oil. Special DuPont finishes protect gasoline storage tanks, guarding against corrosion and reducing losses through evaporation by reflecting the heat of the sun. Hoses of DuPont neoprene rubber are used by oil tankers and gasoline stations. DuPont Nitramon blasting agents aid in seismic prospecting for new oil wells. A special Nitramon formulation works efficiently even when the oil deposits are located underwater, miles out to sea. The oil industry also turns to the chemical industry for acids and scores of other chemicals which it needs in great quantities. At no time in our history have we in the United States depended on petroleum and its products as we do today. As a result, the search for new oil deposits is much intensified. And the petroleum industry is making every effort to produce better and more efficient fuels and lubricants that last longer and perform well under all conditions. In these endeavors, so vital to all of us, the petroleum industry is aided by the products and the know-how of chemical science, the DuPont Company's Better Things for Better Living through chemistry.
Next week, Cavalcade presents the popular Hollywood star Franchot Tone in The Enlightened Professor. It's the story of a courageous 19th century professor at Yale who believed that science would one day make this nation great. We invite you to listen. Tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, Queen of Heartbreak Trail, was written by Arthur Arendt and Paul Peters. Material for tonight's play was derived in part from an article which appeared in the American magazine. Music was composed by Arden Cornwell and conducted by Donald Bryan. Irene Dunn can now be seen in the George Stevens production for RKO Radio Pictures, I Remember Mama. Miss Dunn's celebrated charm has been beautifully photographed in this production on DuPont Superior 2 Negative by cinema photographer Nicholas Musaraka. This is Ted Pearson inviting you to listen next week to The Enlightened Professor, starring Franchot Tone. Cavalcade of America is presented each week from the stage of the Longacre Theater on Broadway in New York and is brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Queen of Heartbreak Hill from 1948 on the Cavalcade of America. Next up for our listening pleasure, it's Boston Blackie, and this episode is called The Undersea Murder. This is from 1946.
Found it, Larry. Found it.
You're not kidding, Bill. Are you sure?
Positive. Don't get so excited. You stop pumping air to me down here.
Keep your helmet on. I'll keep pumping. You sure it's the sunken ship we're looking for?
We were looking for the Argus, weren't we?
Yeah, but make sure it has the gold in it before we get too excited.
Okay. Give me a little more line.
Yeah.
There's a big gap in her side I can look into and see right into the hold.
Okay, but be careful. Don't get caught in the current and lose your footing.
Just keep my lines tight, and I won't. Keep pumping air.
I'll pump you enough air for a month if you found that gold.
Yeah, just enough for now will do.
Well, Bill, what goes? You see anything yet?
See anything? I can see everything. Larry, there's more gold here than I thought was in the whole world.
You found it, huh?
I sure did, Larry. We're rich.
You mean I'm rich?
What are you talking about?
You'll know in a minute. Pull on your tow line.
Huh?
Pull on it, Bill.
Okay, but... Hey, Larry, it's loose.
Sure, I got it loose.
What's your idea? What?
And here goes your airline, too, Bill. I'm cutting that.
No, Larry, don't. No, you can't.
I can't, huh? I already have.
No, Larry, don't.
I'm pulling out of here, but fast. As soon as I cut this phone line.
Oh, Larry.
So long, Bill, old pal.
Larry.
And now, on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
I know just how you feel, Sarah. Your brother was a swell guy. And believe me, there was nothing I could do to save him.
I'm sure there wasn't, Larry.
Honest, there wasn't. I was pumping air to Bill when all of a sudden the phone went dead. Then I saw bubbles on the water, and when I pulled on the tow line, it was limp.
Something underwater must have cut the lines.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's what it was. Sarah, I want you to remember that Bill and I were partners. And Bill's death doesn't dissolve that partnership. You're in if I ever find that gold.
No, I wouldn't want it. It'd remind me too much of Bill. I think you'd better go now, Larry. I think I'd rather be alone right now.
Yeah, sure, sure. Anything you say. Well, so long, Sarah. And I'm sorry.
It's all right. Bye, Larry.
Hey, goodbye.
Bye, Larry. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah, sure, sure, kid. So long.
What are you bawling about, sis?
Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Came in the back way so nobody would see me. Thanks for feeling so miserable when Larry told you I was dead. It's very complimentary.
Bill, it really is you. You're alive.
Yeah, sure am, sis. And it was some story Larry told you about how I died.
He thought you did die. What happened?
What happened? Larry tried to kill me, and I'm alive now only because I'm a smart diver. I'm going to be just as smart a killer.
Bill, don't talk like that.
Why not? As far as anybody knows, I'm dead. So I'm going to kill the guy who tried to kill me. And I'm going to get away with it, too.
Yes?
Boston Blackie?
Yes, again.
May I come in?
Yes, with a capital, why not?
Thank you. Blackie, I...
Don't tell me. You're in trouble. Or you know someone who's in trouble, and you've come to me for help.
Yes, Blackie. It's my brother.
Well, what's he done? Swindled, embezzled, or murdered?
He hasn't done anything yet, but he's going to kill a man.
He is? When?
As soon as he finds him. And he's going to get away with it, too.
That's a popular misconception, Miss...
Bronson. Sarah Bronson. My brother's name is Bill.
Bill Bronson, the diver?
Yes.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Miss Bronson. Your brother died this morning. I heard it over the radio not an hour ago.
My brother's very much alive, Blackie. And it's because everyone thinks he's dead that he thinks he can get away with murder.
Well, I have a hunch he's right, up to a point. Who was he going to kill?
Larry Matthews, his partner. That wasn't an accident under the water this morning. Larry tried to kill Bill by cutting his lines.
Uh-huh. So Bill wants to stay dead and get his revenge. I think you'd better go to the police, Miss Bronson.
No, I don't dare.
Why not?
Bill's gone almost crazy after that experience this morning. He said he'd kill me if I went to the police. But he didn't say anything about going to you.
I see. Well, I'll see what I can do for you.
Whatever it is, you'll have to do it fast. Bill is...
Excuse me. Hello.
Hello, Blackie. This is Charlie Kingston.
Oh, hello, Charlie. I'll call you back in just a minute.
Oh, this is nothing serious, Blackie. I'm just keeping a promise I made to you.
What promise?
You know, about never jumping into a new business deal without telling you what I've done.
Well, tell me about this one some other time, Charlie, will you? I've got to keep a man named Larry Matthews from being killed.
Did you say Larry Matthews?
Yes.
He's going to be killed. Good heavens, no. I won't have anyone murdered in any of my offices.
What?
He's downtown in my manager's office right now, and they just closed a deal for $100,000.
What kind of a deal?
A salvage job. I bought half interest in $2 million worth of gold Matthews and Bronson, that dead diver, found. I saw the chart myself.
Look, Charlie, phone your manager and tell him to hold Matthews there. Bronson isn't dead. Matthews tried to kill him, and now the diver is out to kill Matthews.
What? Well, I don't understand.
Never mind what you don't understand. Phone your manager, tell him the whole story, and tell him to hold Matthews there. I'll get there myself as soon as I can.
So that's what the score is, Mr. Matthews. We're... Oh, excuse me.
Sure, Mr. Walton.
Walton speaking.
Oh, Henry, this is Charlie Kingston.
Oh, yes, Mr. Kingston.
Look, is Larry Matthews there?
Yes, he is.
Good, keep him there. Don't let him leave your office under any circumstances.
What's the matter?
His life is in danger. Somebody's looking for him to kill him. Boston Blackie will be down there in a few minutes to take over. Now, wait for him.
All right, but I don't understand.
Now, don't try. Wait till Blackie comes and get that chart from Matthews. I want that chart.
Don't worry, Mr. Kingston. I'll get it for you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Anything wrong, Mr. Waltham? You look a little pale.
Nothing much is wrong, I hope, Mr. Matthews. That was my boss, Mr. Kingston. He wants me to keep you here in my office until Boston Blackie gets here.
Why?
Why? Because your life is in danger.
Huh?
Mr. Matthews, do you know of anyone who's trying to kill you?
No. No one in particular. But I'm not surprised my life's in danger. Yours would be, too, if you owned something as valuable as that chart of mine.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, we'll own it soon. Mr. Kingston asked me to be sure to get it from you.
Well, you've given me your check. Come on down to my house at the waterfront and I'll give you the chart.
Mr. Matthews, I can't let you leave this office. Mr. Kingston's orders.
Well, if you want that chart, you'll come and get it now. I want to close this deal and get rid of that chart.
Aren't you afraid to go out on the street?
I'll take my chances. I got a gun right here, see? Come on, I want to get this deal over with.
All right, I'm going with you. Just a minute.
Hey, what are you taking out of that drawer?
My gun, Mr. Matthews. If you're in danger, I'm in danger, too.
Here's my house. Wait till I unlock the door, Walton.
Sure. Well, so far, so good. We haven't seen anyone who even looked as if he wanted to kill you.
That doesn't make me a bit unhappy. Now, come on in. Oh, wait, I'll turn on the light. There. Now, come on in. I'll get you the chai.
Okay.
I never had enough money for a safe, so I always hid anything valuable under the floor.
I see.
This loose board here is my safety deposit vault. Here's your chart right here. I'll see if they can get anything else now. What's the idea? Turn out the light.
You dirty double-crosser, Waltham. You got me, but maybe one of my bullets got you, too.
Hi, Blackie.
Hello, Mary.
You know, I've been waiting in this office for you for 1 hour.
Well, I got here as quickly as I could, but I wasn't worried. I knew Matthews would be safe as long as you were here.
Well, I'm here, but Mr. Matthews isn't.
What?
I hope I won't have to tell you a dozen times. Mr. Matthews went out with Mr. Waltham.
But didn't Kingston phone here and tell...
Excuse me. Kingston Enterprises, good afternoon.
Well, this is Mr. Kingston. Let me speak to Mr. Waltham again, will you?
Mr. Waltham's out, Mr. Kingston.
Oh, I see. Oh, did he leave with Mr. Matthews in a Boston Blackie?
Boston Blackie? No, sir, I don't even know him.
I'm Boston Blackie. If that's Kingston, I'd like to talk to him.
Oh, Mr. Kingston, Blackie wants to talk to you.
Oh, by all means.
Here you are, Blackie.
Thanks. Hello, Charlie.
Blackie, what's the matter down there? Where's Waltham and Matthews?
Well, that's just what I want to ask you. Didn't you phone Waltham and tell him to keep Matthews here?
Yes, the minute I was through talking to you.
Well, what is he isn't here now.
What happened to you?
And I hate to think what's going to...
Well, wait a minute, Blackie. Here's Waltham now.
Good. Matthews with him?
No. Good heavens, Blackie. Waltham's wounded.
Badly?
Just a minute. Waltham, what happened to you? Here, sit down here.
I've been shot. I went with Matthews. I got shot.
Well, Charlie.
Look, sit down. Yes,
Charlie.
Blackie. Yes.
If Waltham can talk, put him on the phone, will you?
All right. Just a minute. Can you talk, Waltham?
Yes, I think so.
Good. Here, I'll hold the phone for you. It's Boston Blackie. He wants to talk to you.
Waltham, can you hear me?
Yes, Blackie.
Where's Matthews?
Dead, I guess. I don't know. It happened too fast.
Who shot you?
I don't know. I couldn't see. It was too dark down there.
Down where?
In Matthews' house. We went there to get the chart showing where the gold ship was located. We were in the house when the lights went out. There were shots from the darkness. Matthews fell. I was hit, but I got away.
Where's Matthews' house?
On Wharf Street.
Okay, I'll go down there and see what happened. Matthews still has the chart?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Well, maybe I can find it. Maybe I can find him. One thing, I promise you, I'll find something. Well, I can say one thing for Wharf Street, Mary. It's not pretty, but the sea air is wonderful.
Smells fishy to me.
So does this little situation we're in. Well, the man at the fruit stand said this is Matthew's house, 219.
I don't see any signs of excitement. Maybe Mr. Waltham dreamed up his story about being shot.
If he did, he dreamed up a bullet hole, too, Mary. And that's awfully realistic dreaming. Let's go in and see if we can find anything.
All right.
The lights are on inside. Let's have a look around.
Okay. We searched downstairs. There's nothing here. What's with you?
Hey, Mary, that's Faraday.
Sure,
hey, who is that? Keep looking, Rollins. I'll go out and see who it is. Blackie. You.
Yes, Inspector. Me.
And me, too.
Don't remind me. Blackie's bad enough.
Bad enough, Faraday. You mean good enough, don't you?
Good enough for what?
To tell you what happened here.
A guy named Larry Matthews was killed. That's what happened here. We found his body inside. I suppose you know who killed him.
Sorry to disappoint you, Faraday, but yes, I do know who killed Matthews. It was his ex-partner, Bill Bronson, the diver. Ho-hum. Want to hear more?
Keep talking. You don't know how stupid you sound. Listen, Bill Bronson's sister came to see you today, didn't she?
Yes.
And you told her to come to see me, didn't you?
Yes, but she wouldn't do it.
Well, she changed her mind. Women do that, you know.
So?
So, Blackie, you think Bill Bronson killed Matthews, huh?
I know he did. How do you like that?
Well, an hour before Matthews was killed down here, a cop arrested Bill Bronson uptown, and he's been in jail since. How do you like that?
And now back to Boston Blackie. When Bill Bronson, diver, found a sunken ship with its long-lost cargo of gold, his partner, Larry Matthews, cut his air hose and lines and left him for dead. But Bronson miraculously lived and swore vengeance on Matthews. The diver's sister, knowing of her brother's plan, came to Blackie for help. But before Blackie could get to Matthews, someone else got to him with a gun. And it wasn't Bronson, because Bronson was in jail. As we return to our story, Henry Waltham, who was with Matthews when he was shot, is having a bullet wound dressed by a doctor.
Still hurt, son?
Yes, it does, Doctor.
You're lucky you're still alive. That bullet just missed puncturing your lung.
Yeah?
Yep. You'll have to take it easy for a while. Yeah. That dressing will do for now.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Doctor.
Well, let's see how you respond to treatment before you thank me. Here we are. What's your name, son?
You have to know that?
Yep.
Okay. It's Waltham. Henry Waltham.
Henry Waltham. Mm-hmm. And how did you get that bullet in you?
I told you when I came in. It was an accident.
I know. Now suppose you tell me the truth.
Look, what's it to you how I got shot? You're a doctor, not a policeman.
I know, but I have to report this to the police.
What? You've got to report it? Oh, no.
But it's the law. I'd lose my right to practice if I didn't.
Well, you're going to lose a patient if you do.
Lie down, son. You're still too weak to
get... I'm not too weak to get out of here.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do. Here's something. Steady your feet.
Come back here, you. Come back.
Oh, no.
Operator, get me the police.
Wonder when that diver's going to signal us, Blackie. He's been down there long enough to have found $10 million in gold.
Well, I wish he'd find Waltham while he's at it, Charlie.
Blackie, do you think Mr. Waltham killed Mr. Matthews?
I don't know, Mary.
Oh, Mr. Kingston! Mr. Kingston!
Yes, Captain Arnold.
The diver's found something down there, Mr. Kingston. Wants to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Captain Arnold. A couple of extra earphones, Blackie. You and Mary might like to listen in.
Thanks, Charlie.
Oh, I'd love to. Just wait till I get mine on. Okay.
This will be a great moment if he's found that gold. Hello down there. This is Charlie Kingston.
Sorry, Mr. Kingston. No luck here either.
But Captain Arnold said you'd found something.
Yes, but not a ship full of gold. Just the end of the sandbar. The drop-off so deep, my light won't hit the bottom of it.
Well, I guess we're in the wrong place again.
I'm afraid we are, Mr. Kingston. I wish you'd had a better look at that chart. I can't make many more dives today.
I realize that. Well, come up and try just once more, will you?
Sure. Once more.
Oh, Captain Arnold.
Yes, Mr. Kingston.
Have your men bring the diver up. We still haven't found the right place.
Yes, sir. All right, men. Let's bring the diver topside. If he only brings down, they're worth bringing up.
I'm afraid you'll have to wait until you get that chart and find your gold, Charlie.
But I may never get it, Blackie. Remember, I only had a quick look at the chart.
Oh, look, they're cranking the thing that brings the diver up. I'm going over there and watch him come out of the water.
Well, don't try to help anyone, Mary, or they may have to pull you out of the water, too.
Okay, I'll be careful.
I think we'll try looking for the gold over there a few hundred yards.
You're just wasting your time looking for it without that chart, Charlie. And I'm wasting my time out here, too. I ought to be looking for Waltham.
You think he killed Matthews, do you?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'd hate to think that Waltham killed Matthews. You know, he said a third person entered the room just as the shooting started.
I don't believe that story completely. That's why I want to find Waltham.
All right, men. The diver's brought to the surface. Pull him aboard. Come on, you better step aside, lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, all right.
Better come over here by us, Mary.
Oh. I wanted to watch him take the diver's helmet off.
He's going to go down again in another spot, Mary. Maybe you can watch then.
Well, you can see him from right here now, Mary.
Well, it isn't as good as being close, but... Oh, look, look. He's up on deck now. He looks like the man from Mars, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
All right, men. Stop the pumps. They got his helmet off.
Well, Mary, you saw them take the helmet off.
Blackie, look. Look, there's an awfully big launch, and it's heading right toward us.
Good night. The fool doesn't see us.
Can't start our engines in time to get out of his way. Captain Arnold! Captain Arnold!
Hey. I see him, Mr. Kingston. He's going to crash into us.
Hold on to me, Mary.
Back! Throw the whistle. Tug, grab that son and bring it to the bridge.
What do we do?
Get everybody. He's still on time to swim off.
Yes, but he's not right here. Come here, Mary. Stay close to me.
All right, I will.
Is everybody all right?
Well, I'm all wet.
All right, Blackie?
Yes. I'm okay, but... But look, we're 5 or 6 miles from shore. I don't like this. See if anybody can grab a plank or something from the boat.
Good idea. All your men all right, Arnold?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Kingston. And here comes a launch. It looks like a police boat, too. See, it is a boat. Hello there. Hello.
Save your breath, Charlie. They see us.
They're swinging around to pick us up.
Here they are.
Here come the lifelines. They're ready to grab them.
Okay.
Hatchet.
Here, Mary. You take this one.
Oh, thanks.
Well, look who's playing porpoise. All right. If it isn't Boston Blackie.
Faraday.
Haul him in, boys. All but that good-looking one there. He looks undersized to me.
Oh, haul me up, Faraday, or I'll haul you in here with me.
What? When you know I can't swim?
That's why I'd like to have you in here.
Here, Blackie. I'm aboard now. Take this rope of mine.
Thanks, Charlie.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Come on. Up you go. Come on. There you are. There.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Charlie. You all right, Mary?
Oh, sure. Just dripping a little, that's all.
Well, there's some blankets in the cabin there, Miss Wesley. Better get into one right away.
All right, I guess I better, thanks.
I don't know what brought you out here, Faraday, but I'm glad something did.
Well, I came out here just in time to see that guy Waltham ram your boat.
Well, how did you know it was Waltham, Faraday?
Well, because a doctor reported treating his wound and told how Waltham slugged him and skipped out. Then the next report I got on Waltham was that he was seen getting into a powerboat in the harbor.
Oh, Inspector Faraday.
Yeah, Rollins, what is it?
Just got a radio message from shore, Inspector.
Yeah, so what?
So we don't have to look for Waltham anymore. He walked into the 18th Precinct Station and gave himself up.
So you think Waltham rammed us, do you, Inspector?
Okay, I was wrong. I suppose you know who rammed you.
I have a rough idea, and I think if I see Bill Bronson, I can smooth it out.
Bill Bronson? What could he have to do with this? He's still in jail.
Good. Let's go down and see him before he's released.
What makes you think he's going to be released?
You're going to release him. He still doesn't know that his ex-partner Matthews is dead, and Faraday, before you let him out of jail, I'm going to let you in. I have some bad news for you, Bronson.
I'm in jail, Blackie, and you say you have some bad news for me. That's funny.
Yeah, but this isn't, Bronson.
Hey, Faraday. You and Blackie got awful long faces. What's the matter?
Your sister's dead, Bronson.
Huh? Sarah's dead?
Yes. Killed by the man who tried to kill you.
Why, that dirty Matthews out...
Wait a minute. I won't do any good, Bronson. All we want you to do is give us all the information you can. We found your sister's bodies in Matthew's house. Do you know any reason why she would be down there?
Yeah. Yeah, I know a reason, Blackie. I guess I'm it.
What do you mean, you're it?
Well, what am I in jail for? Because I said I was going out to kill Matthews for trying to kill me. Well, I guess sis went down there to kill him just to keep me from doing it.
Only Matthew shot first.
Yeah, the low-down...
And that's enough of that, Bronson. Now, look, your sister's dead just because you wanted to take the law into your own hands. Now, if you've learned your lesson, I'll let you go free.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson, Inspector.
All right. Go home and be a good boy, because I don't want to have to teach it to you again.
Who's that?
It's me, Sarah. What's the idea? Bill, they let you out.
Sarah, they told me you were dead.
What?
Yeah. Said Matthews killed you. I told him you went down there to kill him for me.
You idiot, you stupid...
Now, look, you don't have to get sore. I had no way of knowing that
I didn't have to get sore. I ought to kill you for what you've done to me.
What have I done?
What have you done? Because of you stupid fool, the police are going to be after me for murder. And why did I kill Matthews? For you.
You did not. It was your idea to kill him for the money and the charge.
All right, it was my idea. And it was also my idea not to get caught.
But you aren't caught yet, and I was tricked into saying that...
Sane enough to send me to the electric chair. And everything was perfect, absolutely perfect, till you had opened your stupid mouth.
Now, look, don't blame me all for this. Your plan wasn't perfect.
Oh, wasn't it? Who'd ever guess I killed Matthews? Didn't I go to Blackie and warn him that you were going to kill Matthews? Didn't I go to the police and have them arrest you to keep Matthews alive?
I know all that.
You know all that. Well, I know a lot more. After I took Matthews' chart, I risked my neck to keep Charlie Kingston from finding that gold. I rented a launch and rammed his boat. I did all that for us. And what did you do for me? Fall for a stupid trick?
Now, look, I'll go back to the police and tell them I was lying about you wanting to kill Matthews. I'll...
Why don't you tell us now, Bronson? We're right here. Come on in, Blackie.
Police.
Stand where you are, Bronson. Rollins, go revive Miss Bronson. She's fainted.
Yes, sir.
Well, Faraday, happy now?
Yeah, I'm happy, Blackie. I've got my killers.
Sure you have. I made sure you would. Well, Inspector, you might as well take Bill Bronson downtown. He's so used to being underwater. Let's see if he's getting used to being under arrest.
Hello down there. Any luck, Diver?
I'm coming to the hull of a ship now, Mr. Kingston. I'll let you know in a minute.
Good, good. Well, we'll know in a minute, Blackie, if Inspector Faraday got the right chart from Miss Bronson.
Right. Waltham feeling okay, Charlie?
Yes, fine. But he feels like a fool for losing his head and running out on that doctor. He doesn't know what made him do it.
Oh, I suppose he was afraid the police wouldn't believe his story about how Matthews was shot.
Hello there, Mr. Kingston.
Oh, it's the Diver. Yes, Diver?
I found it, Mr. Kingston. There's plenty of it.
Oh, you found the gold?
You bet I have. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Blackie, Mary, he found the gold.
Wonderful.
Well, that's fine, Charlie.
Well, aren't you excited? It's $2 million in gold. I'm a rich man.
You've been a rich man for years, Charlie. Just how rich can you get? After all, what difference does $2 million make to a man who already has 20 or 30?
Do you know something, Blackie?
What is it, Charlie?
I never thought of that.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.